за шум учинився, що комари та й на вусі оженився, що комари та й на вусі оженився, взяв собі жінку невеличку, що не вмієш ти красти чоловічку, що не вмієш ти красти чоловічку.
Calgary, Alberta, a group called Jito, and that is from their self-titled CD, a song that is very apropos for this time of year, Komarik, the mosquito. І таким жвавим темпом розпочали нашу програму. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні повинна дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I am your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're listening on AM, FM, shortwave, radio, satellite, podcasting, via live stream. However you're tuning in to us, thank you very much for joining us and Vitayu, welcome. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got news courtesy Ukraine Today as well. We have a feature and some music with a nod to the summer solstice known in Ukrainian tradition as Ivana Kupala. So stay tuned for all of that as well. Our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, keep your dancing boots strapped on. We've got Zirka from Toronto and a song about two oak trees, Dubka.
Не знала. наші буду ганьбити, ти ганьбити, ганьбити.
Ой, Марічко, люблю, та люблю, та люблю, та заріж мені когуття, 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 заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття.
Запіє, запіє,
залі горі Маріє, 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 залі горі Маріє, Маріє, Маріє.
Ой, Марічко, чичері, чичері, чичері,
розчищені кучері, 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 розчищені кучері, кучері, кучері.
Embrace the Ukrainian culture, music, food, and dancing at the 51st Annual Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, July 29th to 31st, Dauphin, Manitoba. Purchase your weekend pass right now for only $95. If you wait, you'll pay more at the gate. Day passes and camping passes also available. Call toll-free 1-877-474-2683. For more info, visit cnuf.ca and like CNUF on Facebook.
Don't miss the 4th Annual Babas and Borscht Ukrainian Festival, August 20th and 21st in Andrew, Alberta. Ukrainian food, music, dance, Babas Bazaar, museum tours and exhibits, Zabava and more. Lessons in clay oven making, leatherwork and Ukrainian dance. Find out all about Samohonka, yes, moonshine. Tons of fun and excitement at Babas and Borscht Festival, August 20th and 21st in Andrew, Alberta. Oh, and there's a borscht cook-off too. Admission is free and includes a borscht sample. For tickets, visit babasandborscht.ca.
Thank you.
Some Vancouver talent for you there. That was Ruta Yauni with a song from her CD, Bringing in the Light, and that was Marena, and that is a song that is refers to Ivana Kupala, which is the summer solstice, and very much a fertility ritual that dates back to pre-Christian times. And during Christian times, of course, it was merged with St. John the Baptist commemoration, so lots of history there, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about that very shortly. But first, we've got more Vancouver talent for you. Zelia from their CD Willowbridge and a song called Na Ivana Kupala.
Kupala, Na Ivana, Na
Sid Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Hollis. I am certain that for anyone listening who lives in the Northern Hemisphere, there's one thing you've all taken notice of. The days had clearly been getting longer up until June 21st, 1716, Coordinated Universal Time. This brief moment, known as the summer solstice, has been an important part of many different cultures of the world and predates many formal religions, though in the Christian faith, this date often coincides with the day of St. John the Baptist. And like many other traditional celebrations, be they of nature or fertility, they became amalgamated into the locales which had adopted the Christian faith. This was no different in Ukraine, though they were not met without resistance by neither clerics or secular leaders. In fact, in 1719, Hetman Ivan Skoropadsky issued a decree categorically forbidding the celebration, while the Soviets used the traditional holiday to devise what to this day in Ukraine is called Den Molody, the Day of Youth, and falls on the last Sunday in June. Before the collapse of the Soviet Union, what else could it be called but the Day of Soviet Youth? After my first personal experience of the holiday on the River Prut in Colomia in 1990, I attended many other celebrations in Ukraine, some in Kyiv, on its outskirts, and often with different groups of friends. Each of these entailed some of their own vestiges of the ancient traditions, which included jumping over fires, the floating of woven wreaths by young women, bathing, or skinny dipping, as some would call it, as well as games of frivolity and the singing of songs full of sexual connotation. From my personal experience, all was done in good taste, and for the most part, unless you could adeptly read between the lines of some of those traditional songs, you would never understand the sexual connotation. As many of those traditions were being rejuvenated during the early 1990s in Ukraine, they are also being celebrated as part of rejuvenation in many centers of the world where Ukrainians have settled. The movement of our Earth around the sun is something that will continue, and may the traditions which are associated with the summer solstice bring joy into the lives of not only Ukrainians, but all of us fine people on the face of this planet. I'm Vasyl Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule for Nash Holos featured the traditional holiday of Ivana Kupala.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Маринка, моя дівка, Winnipeg, that was Alexis Kohan from her first CD that she released solo called Sirivna. And that is a song all about the seasons and, again, fertility rituals. And certainly Ivana Kupala plays a large, significant part of that CD. And that song that you just heard was called Rituals of Ivana Kupala. And that song, that CD, rather, also is a nod to ancient music, and that was in a style modernized, but still true to the traditional, very ancient presentations. And coming up next is something very different, much more modern presentation and arrangement of that ancient song. Here is Chocolade, a jazz group from Ukraine, and a very interesting rendition. And it will be followed by Kobza, a group from Poland, and that is more of a pop rock presentation. So sit back, relax, and enjoy these last two songs of our Kupala set.
kokoši.
Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
No local elections are possible in the militant occupied areas in Donbas unless security is restored. That's according to Ivan Simonovich, United Nations Assistant Secretary General for Human Rights, who on Friday presented a UN report on eastern Ukraine. The UN official insisted the freedom of expression and gathering must be provided in the separatist-held territories. Simonovich added, over 9,400 people have died since the hostilities started in April 2014, with more than 21,000 people wounded.
Ukrainian prisoners recently released from Russia are now returning home after a treatment in hospital. Both Soloshenko and Afanasyev had to receive medical attention upon coming back to Ukraine. Soloshenko says he will first visit his relatives in Poltava. He also promises to do all in his power to get all of the Ukrainians falsely imprisoned in Russia freed. Afanasyev wants to stay in Kyiv, since he cannot return to the Russian-occupied Crimea. The two Ukrainians were exchanged this Tuesday for two separatist instigators that attempted to start a so-called people's government in Odessa.
It's no secret that Russia is beefing up its presence along the Ukrainian border. A strategic point on the Kremlin's potential trail of destruction is Belarus. A small town of Klintsy, near Belarusian border, is being revamped as a military hub with upgraded infrastructure. Klintsy is allegedly serving as a home for a Russian military unit. This has caused quite a scandal in Belarus. The military barracks were officially closed in 2011. However, without any official commentary, nearly 300 soldiers from Yekaterinburg, Russia, have arrived here. Klintsy is about 5 hours away from the Belarusian capital of Minsk. The distance is virtually the same to Kyiv. The Russia's ambassador to Belarus is adamant Ukraine is the one everyone is in fear of.
What does Belarus have to do with this? I don't understand. It seems that with the Minsk deal, radicalism is on the rise in Ukraine. These are preventive measures.
Ukraine's military intelligence is quick to dispute that. The spokesman for the intelligence department at the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine thinks there will be more than three divisions sent in and around Ukraine's borders.
The revamping of infrastructure that was there before the destruction of the army and was for the tank brigades from southern Russia.
Skibitsky also underlines that thousands of these soldiers have actual combat knowledge. He mentioned incidents where Russian soldiers say they're wearing the same uniform they did while in Donbass.
Ukraine wants an explanation from the UN General Secretary, all due to Ban Ki-moon's recent controversial comments during a forum in St. Petersburg. In his speech, the UN General Secretary stated that Russia has a critical role to play in addressing pressing global issues, from ending the conflicts in Ukraine and Syria to safeguarding human rights and controlling the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. The statement immediately drew a lot of criticism from the Ukrainian side. The government issued a letter asking for a clarification, while the UN spokesperson responded urging everyone to read the entire transcript of Ban Ki-moon's address.
The Ukrainian delegation in the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe is indignant with the report of Torbjörn Jagland, the OSCE Secretary General. The document, supposed to drop a light shed at the human rights violation in the Russia-occupied regions, does not contain a single word of Russia's crimes in the occupied Crimea. Recently freed from Russian jail, Ukrainian pilot Nadia Savchenko insisted the problems of the Crimean Tatars should be considered as well, taking into account the observers have no access to the peninsula. This is her first trip abroad after releasing from Russian jail. The Parliamentary Assembly President Pedro Agramunt greeted Savchenko's release, along with the extradition of other two prisoners, Gennady Afanasyev and Yuri Soloshenko, to Ukraine. Savchenko called on Europe to stay united in support of Ukraine that pays for the peace in other countries with lives of its citizens. Russia wanted me to be here only in 22 years. It was you all wanting to see me earlier and did your best to make it possible. I am happy to be with you now. Currently, Ukraine is standing at the front line. The peace of the whole Europe is estimated through the lives of Ukrainian citizens. I call you all to support us in this effort with your tough, consistent, and clear position.
Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko visited France on June 21st to discuss a range of issues with his French counterpart, François Hollande, in particular the situation in Donbas region and visa liberalization. On arriving in Paris, Poroshenko was accepted in the Élysée Palace. Both leaders held an hour-long talk, summed up by a joint press conference. Both Hollande and Poroshenko agreed on further Russian sanctions prolongation, since the Minsk agreements are far from being completely implemented. Additionally, the president stressed the importance of the Normandy format to finally combat the Russian aggression in Donbas region.
We need a progress on electoral legislation and elections in eastern Ukraine. The prisoners are to be released, as well as the state border must be returned under full control of Ukrainian state. Namely, it is a complete package of Minsk agreements. We are eager to organize one more meeting in Normandy format, now awaiting Vladimir Putin to confirm his participation. We suggest, first of all, that the security criteria are negotiated, among them the OSCE police mission in Donbas and prisoners' release.
OBSE на окупованій території.
Numerous Ukrainian citizens have rushed to search for their disappeared relatives since the Ukraine's security service opened the archives of Soviet communist regime. During the mass repressions, the People's Commissariat for Internal Affairs and Committee for State Security of USSR arrested thousands of Ukrainians with their further deportation to the far north. Now, each and every citizen is entitled to look through the numerous files to find the relatives once swallowed by the Soviet communist machine. The archives from the Soviet times contain thousands of boxes and files, and this is just a central archive. Every region possesses its own file store as well, with several cases in each box. One case may include several names of the detainees. Leonid Koptyuk has finally found his father, who had been exiled for 10 years. While studying the case, Leonid saw the picture of his father for the first time in his life. Now he is willing to find the place where the man had been buried. According to the documents, Leonid's father was last fixed in Magadan region, that is Russia's far east.
I am so happy to have found my father. Now I know at least how he looked like. I have seen his personal handwriting. He was accused of sponsoring the Ukrainian National Army during the Second World War, but I got to know he just helped the soldiers.
Marina Budzar has also found her father. He was one of the so-called re-immigrants, living at first in France and coming back to the USSR. She says after returning from a democratic state, her father could never adapt to communist regime. Except for the repressed Ukrainians, the Secret Service's archives contain also the cases of famous Ukrainian dissidents and political prisoners. One of them is Stepan Khmara, famous for his manuscript on the genocide of Ukrainians. New price alert in Ukraine has started. Newly established electricity tariffs are closely tied to coal prices. Solid fuel is surprisingly rated at an average European level, despite Ukraine having huge deposits of domestic coal. The so-called developed Rotterdam formula, allegedly aimed at optimizing the ratings, granted the Ukrainians the most expensive coal and electricity. This is a usual coal mine in eastern Ukraine. Ukrainian miners desperately strive to extract at least some fuel. Though illegal and unhealthy, this is the only way to earn money, they say. The extracted coal is very cheap, not more than 600 Ukrainian hryvnias for a ton. The prime cost includes a minimal salary for the workers, no more than 4,000 hryvnias monthly, simple equipment and bribes, both for their officials and separatist leaders as well. After being extracted and sold out, this coal is successfully being burned at numerous Ukrainian heat electropower stations. According to official statistics, half-legal fuel constitutes nearly 40% of the total amount Ukraine is burning regularly. Paying no attention at first, the officials in Kyiv now allegedly strive for elaborating the tariff formula. Developed mechanism known as Rotterdam Plus, they say, will double the current communal prices.
We assume the new method is quite transparent, since it takes into account the marginal price of electricity production.
This complicated phrase means the following. Ukrainian coal is to be extracted from Ukrainian mines, but sold for the Ukrainian citizens at a price settled in Rotterdam port. The new price includes the transportation costs from the Netherlands, as well as reloading the coal in one of the local Ukrainian ports. In other words, we are supposed to pay double or even triple price for our domestic production, that is 1,600 hryvnias for a ton. The experts claim Ukrainian coal has thus turned into the most expensive in the world.
The average electricity price in Ukraine is 20% higher than in Hungary or Romania or Poland or Slovakia. Rotterdam formula means 12 billion hryvnias of additional income for the officials.
The officials instead keep on telling stories about European coal prices, not taking into account the structure of its prime cost. A ton of coal from North America costs $45, including the miner's salary, which is no less than $3,000 per month. Ukrainians are happy to earn double as low. Additionally, Ukraine does not provide its miners neither with medical treatment nor with accidental insurance. Anatoly Mohamedjanov is the head of the miner trade union in Novovolinsk, that is, northwestern Ukraine. He came to Kyiv to ask for ministerial financial assistance. The mine, where he is currently working, has not paid a single hryvnia for dozens of months already. The coal they extract has no demand in their town, whereas selling fuel in retail is forbidden. Rotterdam Plus, says Mohamedjanov, is a scheme of double theft. At first, the miners are underpaid, then they have to pay the unpredictably high bills. New prices on electricity were launched in May. A couple of weeks ago, the bills for water supply rose as well. The heating bills are on waiting list. The deputies, though, claim the tariffs are economically groundless. Therefore, people should apply to the court to defend their rights. Ukrainian football team returned home. The sportsmen arrived at Borispil Airport early in the morning on Wednesday, 22nd of June. Unlike meeting Jamala, the winner of Eurovision Song Contest, no one except for the journalists came to meet the footballers. Ukrainian team lost all three games of group tournament of Euro 2016, failing to score a single goal. The head coach of the national team, Mykhailo Fomenko, announced his resignation after the last match with Poland. Who is going to replace him is currently unknown, even to the sports officials. The footballers themselves avoid talking to the media.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Thank you.
jarema, oci, oci, uhaka, oci, ja jarema, mudra holova. Oci, ja jarema, mudra, mudra holova. Oci, ja jarema, mudra, mudra holova.
Edmonton, that was Millennia from their CD Live on the Rocks and Yarema. Before them was the By Request Band from Steinbach, Manitoba and the Whisperer's Waltz. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Тиха вода береге ломить. And our proverb of the week translates as silent waters cut away the shore. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have the female beat from Winnipeg from their CD Steppin' Out and the Crossfire Medley. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.